Welcome back to the Between the Stripes League of Ireland Life Stories series. I'm delighted to be joined today by a good friend of mine, former Wexford FC, or Wexford Youth as they were at the time, and former Longford Town defender, Willie Tyrrell, who of course won back-to-back First Divisions not so long ago now, Willie, actually, is it? Or maybe you feel like it's a long time ago.
I feel like it's a lifetime ago, huh? Back in 2014 and 2015, yeah. Great times, to be honest with you. I do miss them, you know. You don't realise, I suppose, a fast time goes by, but yeah, no, that's what, 6 years ago now. Good times.
And of course, you came into that Longford Town team after a spell away from the League of Ireland because you started out with Bray Wanderers. Then where did you go after that?
Believe it or not, I actually started out with Bowes Bohemians. I was with St. Joseph's Boys in Sally Noggin for three seasons from the time I was 16 till I was 18. And at under 18 level, things were really going well. I got called up. I was on the Irish Schools international team, and I was on Brian Kerr's under 18 international team. Then I was on the 19th home base panel, and things were going well. I was over back from England on a few trials, and actually, it turned out that the Irish international team manager, Mr. Stephen Kenny, he actually signed me for Bowes, and I went into the 21 team where I was being looked after by Gino Brazil, and I was in now the first team with Steve, and so the likes of Simon Webb, Kevin Hunt, Glenn Crowe, the league winning team, brilliant team. That was they were the sort of players that was mixing with everything. But obviously I was a young lad then, and for whatever reason things didn't really work out. But first of all, I ended up with a thing called, I was one step away from chronic fatigue. So I had to take, I think it was out for like 3 or 4 months. Came back, trained really hard to get back into the 21s team first of all. And then I think my first game back, then I jabbed my knee and did media ligaments in my knee, and I was out for another few months, and just didn't happen for me there. And I left and I went to Bray. Pat Devlin signed me there, so I was with their under 21 team for 3 seasons between the time I was about, what, 18 and maybe 21, and I was in out of the first team squad for the first season. Then I sort of established myself in the first team, maybe my second season there, and then the third season then we actually won the under 21 All-Ireland with Bray. We bet St. Pat's, I think it was in penalties in the Carlisle grounds. Played some really good players in that team, including Longford Town legend himself, Davy O'Sullivan, and the likes of Ross Sambra and Willie Murphy. There was Mick Roach. There was a lot of good players there. But yeah, that was my time there. So I was there for 3 seasons between, I think it was about 2004, 2006, I think it was when I left. And I ended up going down to Kilkenny City for a season then after that. With Pat Scully, and from there then after one season there was with Kildare County, but things didn't go well with Kildare. John Ryan was the manager at the time and Barry O'Connor was his assistant, two great lads, but I ended up leaving halfway through the season, and just things just weren't happening for the team up there. Those players coming and going, just no continuity. It was just, I remember it just being a disaster. And actually I ended up going back to Leinster Senior League for a few years with my local club, Arklow Town. And at the time, I think they were a division or two below the top division. But Matt Britton was the manager at the time. He's another ex-League of Ireland legend. He played with the Bray Wanderers and Rovers. He was a good player. And I knew him. And he met me. And anyway, I ended up signing there. And we won, I think, the division below the top division in the Senior League. And then got to the Premier Division. And basically, like, we had some really, really good players. We basically had League of Ireland players playing in the Leinster Senior League, and I think we finished third or fourth in the Premier Division of the Leinster Senior League, and we got to I think 2 cup finals for the first time in the club's history. You players like Gavin Doyle, who you know,
yeah,
Davy O'Sullivan, Don O'Neill, Stephen Hurley, Ronan Ivory, who would be the Bray, just some brilliant players and real professionals that, you know, we pulled together, and we did some really good things there. So Matt left Arklow Town, I think, after about 3 seasons, and myself and Davey. And I think, yeah, myself and Davey went up to Wayside Celtic, and we only been there for about maybe three or four months. And Tony Cousins at the time, actually, this is in 2012. Matt Britton, I think, was best man for Tony Cousins' wedding. So they knew each other really well. So Matt, obviously, Tony was looking for a strike at the time. He came across, doesn't mean Davey, and Matt was telling Tony about this, and Tony came up to watch us, and sure enough, I think we were playing Edenderry at the time, and he signed Davey, of course, because I think Davey scored a hat-trick that day again, as usual. We won like 5-0 or 5-1 or something. We end up signing myself, Don, and Gavin as well. And that's when we end up coming to Longford Town in 2013. That's where that sort of story began then.
It's interesting the way you took the step down from, we'll call it a step down, but it was obviously, as you say, a very, very good team, that Arklow team you played in and that Wayside team you played in. But you took a step away from League of Ireland football into the Leinster Senior League with those teams. And then you came back into the League of Ireland. Do you feel that time playing, you know, senior men's football at a very good level did you the world of good? Because we always hear this kind of argument now, the fact that there's no reserve teams, that maybe more players should look to go into the Leinster Senior League instead of taking maybe loan spells away at other clubs and play competitive football against, you know, good hard opponents, and it'll do them the world of good going forward.
100%. I feel like in life sometimes you have to take one step back to take two or three steps forward. The Leinster Senior League is a brilliant, brilliant league. Like, I remember being in the Leinster squad, the representative squad, and we went down and played the tournament against obviously Ulster, Munster and Connacht. But like, I was surrounded by Crumlin United players. Some of the players up there are like, there's a lot of players that are playing in the senior league that could play League of Ireland at the top end. So I'm talking like there was players from Wayside, players from Crumlin, players from Talca Rovers, obviously Arklow Down where we were at the time, and a few other clubs like that were, I think Bluebell, really, really good players. And it was always a really competitive league. And I'd recommend, like, a lot of the young lads now that are playing 19s League of Ireland, where there's no 21s, so you have that big gap. You could do a lot worse than go back and play Leinster Senior League for two or three seasons.
Is the difference in the calendar is the biggest issue there? Because if the two seasons synced up, you might see more clubs maybe loaning their players to Leinster Senior clubs. But the difference in calendars is probably a big issue. We're seeing now in this transfer window, we're seeing a lot of Leinster Senior players. There's even an example at Longford, Aaron Robinson coming from Bluebell, taking the step into League of Ireland because the Leinster Senior at the moment is suspended and there's no real sign of it coming back with the COVID restrictions. So we're seeing some of the top players in that league taking their chance. But if the two leagues were to run at the same time, we might see a lot more back and forth between leagues, wouldn't we?
Very true, very true. There's a guy actually that signed for Bray. I can't think of his name. He was captain of Malahide. I was reading up about him online. He's just after signing with them recently. His name's slipping my mind now. But he's after signing for Bray, and apparently he's like been really, really good since he came. So it does go to show that there is players there that you can look for from the lower divisions, as they call them, to come into the first division or Premier Division clubs in time. But yeah, if they were synced up and there was joined up thinking, I suppose, from the head honchos, it could work out a lot better, couldn't it?
Let's talk about your first season with Longford then. You came in 2013. Longford had the previous season, 2012, they were on top of the league by, I think, 4 points at the mid-season break. And then the wheels kind of came off a little bit. They fell into the playoffs and they were easily dispatched in the playoffs. So 2013, looking to go one step further. Tell us about your first kind of steps into that Longford squad.
I loved it from the time I went up there. Honest to God, I didn't think I'd enjoy it as much as I did. I loved everything about it. I remember pre-season. I remember we used to do like, used to train so hard. We trained up in Leixlip, the community centre there. And Tony and Gaz Crown, at the time they were the manager and assistant manager. I remember we used to do double sessions on a Saturday morning, double sessions on Sunday, then sessions on a Tuesday and Thursday evening. Sessions were really good. And there was a really good, there was a really good bond between all the players that was formed really quickly. And we started that. I remember starting that season, we took off and we were doing so well. I remember our first game, I think it was against Barview away. We beat them 5-0 and Davey scored a hat trick in his first game. Is that right? I think it was.
It could have been Salt Hill away, even. Would
Salt,
it be?
Salt Hill, it was one of the other. It was Salt Hill. That's who it could have been, Salt Hill away. And I remember just thinking, this is where you want to be. And things just went really well. And I think we were like, geez, what were we, 12 or 13 points ahead of like halfway through the season. And then I remember Samo getting injured against that loan.
Just before the break, Longford lost that game.
We lost that game, I think 2-1 or 2-0 or something. 2-0. I don't know what it was. Yeah, and things just started to go against us and we dropped silly. I remember the first game back afterwards, we drew 1-1, I think away to Salfield. Then, you know, we're looking to get a draw. I think I actually scored that game. That's how bad they were.
Yeah, Derek O'Brien took a little bit of a tumble late on in the game. I think it might have been Reece Gorman. Was that his first game where he kind of committed? He left a leg out, we'll say, and O'Brien was only too happy to take the leg and go down. And
I actually remember that really well. I remember just dropping points there, like draws here and draws there, and then losing games that just shouldn't have lost. I remember actually down in Wallace, we lost down there coming towards the end of the season. Could just feel it slipping from us, but I actually did my ankle ligaments down in Waterford. I remember we made three substitutes, and I think we were 1-0 down. And I think I was playing left foot that game, and I could hardly move. I was hobbling around the pitch, but no, I had to stay on to try to get something from the game, which we didn't do in the end. And actually, when I look back, it was a really poor decision because they ended up being out for a few weeks, and I missed the first leg of the playoff against Bray, due to all. So I started on the bench then for the home game against Bray in Longford. By the way, that was one of the best atmospheres of a game I'd ever been. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember. I don't want to think about it, to be honest.
It was a brilliant game of football, to be fair. But remember when I was just after halftime and strapped up and came on me and the Blues in that game 3-2. I remember just feeling so deflated. I was sick. You know, but when you look back then and you see the way things work out, when 2014 came around and the club made some brilliant, brilliant signings in 2014. When you see the likes of Pat Sullivan, Padge O'Flynn, Stephen Rice, Don Cowan, Kevin O'Connor coming in, like, oh my God, like Premier Division players coming to a First Division squad. And I learned so much from them boys that year, you know, they were so experienced coming from the likes of Shamrock Rovers and playing the Europa League and winning Premier Division titles and being some of the best players in the country at that time. Doesn't mean it had been for a few years. It was absolutely brilliant for some of the more inexperienced lads, which I suppose I was compared to them, you know, and the likes of Dave. But yeah, that was probably my best season of football in 2014. And it's funny, it was like I was 29 at the time. It was probably the best football I've ever played. You know, when you're coming to 29, 30 years of age, it's funny.
But the players in that group feel the pressure, though, when those big names arrived at the club, Bryce, Sullivan, Pat Flynn, all those big names you just outlined, because Longford had missed out narrowly, as you said, 13 points clear of Athlone, blew it, got into the playoff final, blew it. So they went into that 2014 season, not with an expectation, but like it was an expectation. It was a certainty. Everyone said this Longford team have to go up as champions or it's a failure. Even going up through the playoffs wouldn't have been good enough with the players that team had.
No, it wouldn't have been. And if you remember that season, right, the first six league games, we were second last. Yeah. We had, like, I remember we lost to Shamrock Rovers 2 away. I think it was 2-1 in Tala. I remember we drew here and we drew there. And I think we lost to Cove. Like, looked like Tony was getting the second. Just things were just not happening for whatever reason. Just weren't clicking yet. We were doing really well in training. We were working really hard. We were doing everything that, like, we were meant to be doing. But it just didn't happen. And then all of a sudden, it just happened, and I think we ended up with like something like 13 or 14 clean sheets in a row. Mm. I think we won 12 of the 13 games or 13 out of 14 games. We hadn't been beaten and we hadn't conceded. And I think that's a First Division record, or it was up until very recently. I'm not sure. But things just happened. We just got into a flow and just got into a rhythm. And yeah, it just took off from there, and there was no catching us then. It was brilliant, actually. And we played some really good football, some really memorable games as well. So that was good.
I can't remember now. Did you stay for the Premier Division season, or did you move on to Wexford?
I was there for the first half of the Premier Division season. I was there until July. And I remember actually I was on the bench against Bowes at home. And Rossi, the centre half that we had at the time.
Mark Rossiter.
Yeah, Mark Rossiter, yeah. He got injured about 10 or 15 minutes into the game against Bowes. And we had gone 1-0 down. And I came off the bench, and I was marking a Canadian at the time, and we ended up winning the game 2-1. Eamon Ben Mohamed scored the winner. Remember that?
I do remember it well.
And I had a really good game, and things were going really well. Like, I think we were fifth in the league at that time, and I've been playing quite regularly. Played against Pats in a 2-2 draw. I think it was a week or two before that, and we played Sligo at home as well, and that was a 1-1 draw. They had all the charges at the time. They were full time. Like, we were competing and doing really well. I remember going to train the Monday and I was absolutely buzzing after having a good performance and getting the win. And it was on the Tuesday, the day after training, I was actually heading up to the golf club with Anko. I got a phone call off Tony, and I answered the phone. It's like, "Hey Tony, how are you?" Blah, blah, blah. He goes, "Listen, Woody," he says, "I've decided I'm releasing you." And I'm just like, "Tony's messing." Like, I was like, "What, seriously?" And he goes, "Yeah, I'm just looking to, you know," I can't remember if he said, he was looking to cut, I think it was the budget, but he's looking to blood younger players into the squad. And he said that there was two or three clubs that were interested in me. I think Drogheda at the time. And he says, "But I think Wexford's the place for you. Shane Keegan's been on to me about you, and I think Wexford would be a good move for you." And I just went, "All right, like, what do you say?" Like, I mean, he doesn't want you anymore. So, like, it was just a bolt out of the blue. It just wasn't expecting, didn't see it coming. That's okay. So I went and met Shane Keegan, and Shane's a really nice guy and very approachable. And well, yeah, like he didn't really have to sell it to me. Like I knew a lot of lads from Wexford from playing against them years ago, and likes of Peter Higgins and Eric Malloy and Andy Mulligan, Danny Farlong. I knew these guys, like, you know, I knew a lot of, there was a lot of other really nice guys down there that I met. And I got up fitting in down there. I was there for the second half of the season, 2015, and ended up winning another first division title with Wexford. So, like, you know, I can't really complain, but it was a bit like, well, it was an understatement to say I was disappointed, but like I didn't really have time to think about it, because literally when Tony said, you know, letting you go on the Tuesday, I think it was that evening, I said, well, no point in sitting on my laurels. I laid down, so I went down and met Shane that evening on the Tuesday, and actually trained, I think, at Wexford that evening, as far as I remember, and I signed in that night. Wasn't going to wait around, you know? Strange, but that's football.
Yeah, maybe he had already made his mind up before that Bowes game, because I remember that Bowes game distinctly, because I can remember Rossiter getting injured and you coming on and man-marking and Akinade, and the first thing you actually done, a ball came into Akinade, he held it up and you went straight through the back of him. I think you might have picked up a yellow, but you gave him a good belt to let him know you were there. And for the rest of the game, you absolutely dominated him. It was almost like you laid down the marker when you came on. You had a brilliant game, long for 1-2-1, as you said. You think, right, I'm flowing now, I'm going to get a run of games here, and then you get that phone call. So maybe the decision was already made.
Quite possibly. But listen, I didn't. Listen, I met Tony on my A-license. He came into the top for the lads and had the right chat to him. I mean, I wouldn't. Like, listen, he's a manager. He had to make decisions, and he thought the decision that he was making was right, and that's okay. And I'm in the coaching game now. So, like, you can hold grudges and this type of malarkey, but there's no real point. You just get on with it. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like I said earlier, like, sometimes you just take a step back to take two steps forward, and taking a step back, getting released by Longford. But then I went down to Wexford and things worked out really well down there. So no panic.
Did it play on your mind at all, though? Because I think I can. Did you get sent off on your Wexford debut? Or very early on in your Wexford tenure, yeah, you got a red card?
My debut was against Shells when we drew nil-nil away. On the Friday, I think it was, 3 days after, we drew nil-nil, came off the bench in the second half. And then, I think it was the game after that, then we played Shenhams at home, and I played like really, really well. We bet them 2-0, and remember Ollie Horan coming over to me and hitting me a dig, going, Willie, you know, I won't even say what he said, but, you know, really nice, he's a gent, got on really well with him. And I think it was the game after, it could have been two games after, it was third or fourth game in, and I think I got sent off, I was against Kevin Teely, and for being last man, I think there's a ball that was broke, we were both running back beside it, but genuinely, your man stood on the ball and fell over, like literally rolled his ankle, but the referee sort of tripped him up and sent me off, and it's the first time I've ever been sent off in my career. So the lads went 2-0 down as well, I think, in that game, but they came back in 1-3-2. So like, it was a brilliant game to watch from the sideline, even though I was cracking. And then I actually got sent off in my last game at Wexford as well. I think Finn Harps away, two yellow cards. We'd already won the league, and not an excuse, but yeah, never got sent off in my life. And then in my last 4 months, I got sent off twice, which is a bit mad. But yeah, funny.
You decided not to stay on with Wexford then, despite the fact they were promoted to the Premier Division. What was the thinking behind that?
Yeah, Shane had offered me a contract. I was 31 at the time, and one or two other clubs had contacted me as well about continuing, and I was looking at getting I was saving for a mortgage, and I was looking at building a house, and I wanted to get back to college, and I'd started coaching as well. I got a bit of the coaching bug as well, and I had to weigh up on my options. And to be honest, I wasn't in it for making loads of money, but like literally it was probably costing me money.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, with all the training, like you're training 3 times a week and playing a game, doing recovery sessions, and I've done it for years and years and years. And I hummed and hawed about going back, and in the end I decided not. Then I decided the quicker I get on the coaching ladder, the quicker I can get up it. And I was lucky enough that a good friend of mine, one of my best friends now, Mark Anderson, he actually got me into coaching. He so sly the way he did it. Basically, it's up at Arklow United, and he was a Wicklow League team, and they'd moved to the DDSL, I think it was the fourth division, and the guy that was with him had gone, so he asked me to come in and do pre-season. So I said, no problem, I'll do pre-season, I'll help you out, and I'll set up sessions and all the rest of it. And he says, look, can you just do home games? Because, I do the away games, you just do the home games just to give me a hand. But sure, like, you know, wanting to do things right, of course, and being a bit of a control freak. I went from just doing pre-season to doing home games, doing everything, and that's where it all started, and things took off from there. And I absolutely love it. it's never as good as playing, but definitely the next best thing. And I really, really enjoy it. So, yeah, that's what happened in the end. So, the end of 2015, I called it quits. I sometimes think I stopped too early, maybe. But look, that's the decision I made back then. And yeah, from a playing point of view, probably a bit annoying. But sure, from a coaching point of view, it's worked out really well.
Yeah, and you're involved with Bohemians under-19s now as well.
Yeah, love it. It's a brilliant club. I was with Arklow United, like I told you, there from 2015 and walked the way up to the DDSL. And we did really, really well, actually. We end up like getting into the Premier Division of the DDSL and winning it, beating teams the likes of, you know, Terry Orchard and Joey's and Kevin's, and won the Leinster Cup. No team from Wicklow had ever won it before. And we were the first team to do it back in, I think it was 2016 or 17, up in Abbottstown. And that was a brilliant experience. And from there, that November, I was down the coaching convention down in Carlow. And I bumped into two gents called Mick Brown and Gavin Teen, who were managers. We were sitting having lunch, myself and Mark, and we got talking to these two. And one thing led to another. And next thing you know, we're at meetings and I'm coaching with Bray's under 15s with the lads. And so I ended up doing two seasons with Mick and Gav at Bray with their 15s and then their 17s, and coached some unbelievable talents. And it went really well. We got the semi-finals, the All-Ireland, the first year, and the second year, I think it was the quarterfinals of the Shield, not as good, but still really enjoyable and learned so much off them. They're really, really knowledgeable guys, two of the best coaches in the country in the underage game. So I was doing my A license then in 2019, and I was just finishing up with Bray 17s, and I was going to take a year out because, you know, I'd been coaching for a few years and just thought maybe I need a bit of a break. And I think it was on my last day of the A license then, in the third block, Gavin actually rang me and he just said, listen, after getting us a new gig, I was like, what's that? And he says, Bose 19s. I was like, brilliant. So I did a year with Bose 19s last year and have the same absolutely loving life up there. It's really, really well-run club, really good people in it, really professional and like brilliant players. Their 19s, I think, had been involved in Europe in the UEFA Youth League for two of the previous three seasons, and they have a real pathway there. The partnership that they have with Kevin's, it's brilliant. And the pathway, like, you know, and the players coming through the ranks, like, we're working with some brilliant players and they're like, they want to learn. Don't I mean, there's a hunger there. And you see young players coming through in the Bulls first team all the time. And it's because of what they're doing, I suppose, at the underage. And I'm lucky enough to be involved in it now. And it's good. It's great.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It's a really good time to be involved with the underage setups at League of Ireland clubs because those partnerships are finally starting to develop. Whereas, you know, 10 years ago, that was unthinkable for those clubs to work together. And now they're producing really good young players that are stepping into respective first teams. Even if they don't make it at Bowes, there's nothing to say they don't make it somewhere else, maybe at somewhere like a Wexford, for example. But of course, there's some coaches that just enjoy working with the underage players and they never have an ambition to manage at a senior level. Where do you fit into that jigsaw? Would you like to take a big job somewhere one day?
I suppose, it's weird. I always would have said yes, definitely. I'd love to get into the senior game. I never really saw myself coaching the academy. I always saw myself coaching at a senior level. Mm. But I have to say, I'm really happy where I am. But if the opportunity came at the right time, of course you give it a go. You'd love to. Why not? But I'm very happy where I am. And I'm actually, I'm very content coaching at the academy level, which I didn't think I would be. I thought I might be more suited to say senior players all over, but no, it's really, really good. And I suppose I've got every age level is different. 15s is different to 17s, and 70s is different to 19s. So you're learning, you're picking up new things all of the time, you know. So it's been really good.
Who knows, we might see Willie Tyrrell and Dave Sully as a dream team partnership at Longford Town in a couple of years time.
Could you imagine that? Well, could be worse. It's be a great club to coach. Great fans, have to give you that. He's always looked after me when I was up there now. So I can't wait till actually, you know, all this COVID's over and we can get back into stadiums because I've been meaning to get back up there for about 2 years now. So as soon as this is all over, I'm definitely going to get back up to the CCS.
Bishopsgate these days.
Bishopsgate is right, yes. Yeah. Changed, hasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, you'll certainly be welcomed with open arms. Willie, great catching up with you. I don't know if anyone's told you, but you're starting to look more like Olivier Giroud by the day.
Do you know what? The chance would be a fine thing. A bad, bad version, I can tell you, Kieran.
great catching up with you, Willie. Great to see you getting on so well. And look, we'll catch up again down the road.
100%. Look after yourself, all right?